AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant at the G, Yo, and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah!
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
It's finally time for the Houston Texans to make some draft picks. The 2024 draft, the first round is over. The Texans will be on the clock with the 42nd pick in the NFL draft. Paul's all dressed up nice today.
I am.
For a sad occasion.
Yes, for a very sad occasion.
At 1 o'clock.
We won't talk about them.
At 1 o'clock, we will lay the Houston Astros to rest. The 2024 Astros. We will lay them to rest.
On April 26th.
On April 26th.
Of the season that ends in October.
Yep. Well, you know what? It's just, they deserve it. That's how I feel right now.
I agree. I agree.
They put themselves in the ground. That's how I feel right now. We'll do
put yourself in the ground. Do you even deserve a funeral?
That's a good point. It's like a mafia hit at the same time. So we will lay the Astros to rest at 1 o'clock. The NFL draft was last night, the first round. What a wild night. Like, and also at the same time, not. Like, you listen to Peter Schrager and some of these NFL draft guys, like, they're really pumping the narrative before the draft, Paul, of like, there might be 10 trades. It's going to be chaos. Are the Cardinals going to trade their pick? Are the Chargers going to trade their pick? Now, the first 12 picks, there were 6 quarterbacks taken. And maybe, Paul, like, one of the most stunning picks I've ever seen in an NFL draft with Michael Penix going to the Atlanta Falcons. Like, whether you want to be a draft expert or not, the one thing I can tell you is that if you sign a quarterback to a contract with $100 million guaranteed, you don't typically follow that up with taking a quarterback in the first round.
You normally don't do that. Also, when you have the fourth choice at quarterback, you normally don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Also, to go a little bit further, after, you know, taking the fourth quarterback with your first pick after signing that quarterback to the really, really big-time contract, normally you'd at least tell him, I don't know, before the draft that you're at the very least considering it, because no one was thinking about taking Michael Penix there. And then, on top of all of that, Joe, imagine this guy that you drafted 8th overall, who is older as far as rookie quarterbacks go. You say, you know what? It would be great if he doesn't play for 5 years. That's what the general manager of the Falcons said. These bozos did not want to give Bill Belichick full control, and this is what they did.
Yeah.
And look, it might work out. I actually like Michael Penix as a quarterback.
I do too.
But you do all of that after saying that you don't want to give someone like Bill Belichick full control? And I got to say, I mean, look, I didn't watch a lot of the Belichick draft with McAfee because the other guys on the show, I want a little less of them. I wanted more Belichick.
Agreed.
But Belichick, I mean, he was pretty fair with his criticism. I mean, the Drake May pick, he said, like, yeah, we're comparing him to Josh Allen already. That's a little bit crazy. That's sort of how I feel about the pick. That's what I'm looking at from the Falcons' perspective. The big surprise of the draft before, a couple other surprises, not too long later.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. It's one of the most illogical things I've ever seen an NFL team do. If you want to draft a young quarterback, I get it. If you want to overpay a veteran quarterback to try to win your division, I get it. To do both of those things at the same time makes no logical sense. Michael Penix will be 24 in May. If Kirk Cousins, if it goes well to what they said, Michael Penix is not starting a game as the quarterback for the Atlanta Falcons week 1 until he's like 27. if it doesn't go well, and I even heard someone, I heard the, I was listening to the Bill Simmons podcast. They're even suggesting, well, maybe they don't love his medicals because he's coming off an Achilles. What? They just signed him to $180 million contract with $100 million guaranteed. So the Achilles cannot be a question, or it's the worst contract of all time. Like, you're either going to have an old rookie quarterback starting with a the most expensive backup in the league, a ton of dead cap, or this as window in which you're trying to win. Instead of trying to improve your football team, you drafted a backup. Like, it is one of the more bizarre decisions. This is
a backup with injury concerns of his own in the rearview mirror as well.
Yeah, like, the only thing it reminds me at all of, and that's still so different, it reminds me of when Washington drafted Robert Griffin III with the second overall pick in the draft, traded up for him, and then drafted Kirk Cousins in the second round. Like, that made no sense. I think this makes less sense than that. Because they ended up, well, I mean, Washington ended up being right. They got the rookie of the year, and then Kirk Cousins was good for them.
I just think it's nice to again be reminded that here in Houston, we actually have competent ownership. We actually have a competent general manager who supposedly was trying to trade back into the first round.
So many rumors.
If I see one more person try to push as a report, I wouldn't be surprised if team does X, Y, or Z. Well, when the team doesn't do X, Y, or Z, are you surprised now? Because the amount of people that were reporting the Houston Texans were going to trade back into the first round yesterday from before the draft started to during the actual draft got a little bit annoying. But the Texans did not get antsy and make a move that to go get one guy. They sat back on their hands and they watched teams like the Falcons do what they did. They watched teams like the Denver Broncos draft Bo Nix in the kind of selection that you see from a player in a fantasy football draft who realizes he's going to have to wait a really long time to make his next pick and decides to draft a position that a rush is going on.
Yeah.
I mean, there were enough moments last night. And again, I don't know about the, I don't know much about the draft, and a lot of people are going to make snap judgments in the moment after a lot of these picks are made, but it was nice to sit back, no pressure on the Houston Texans, and to watch other teams, at the very least, last night, seemed like they shot themselves in the foot.
Yeah, the Bo Nix one is my biggest issue with that one was this nonsense that Sean Payton was peddling to Adam Schefter.
What was that?
Schefter put out this long tweet going back to when Sean Payton intended to draft Patrick Mahomes in 2017, but then the Chiefs traded up to the Bills' spot at number 10 and got him instead. The last line here in this tweet, Paul, is Payton feels as strongly about Bo Nix as he did Mahomes.
Okay. Well.
Okay. All right. Good luck. Good luck, Sean Payton. And then we have the Dave Tepper thing last night, which was awesome. So reportedly, there was this, not even reportedly, there was this restaurant in Carolina that had a sign out front that said, let the GM and coach make the picks. The manager of this restaurant goes on Twitter and says, basically, you'll never believe this, but Dave Tepper, the owner of the Panthers, just walked in and challenged us on who should make the pick, basically asking us to take the sign down. And we were kind of texting back and forth about it last night.
I wasn't sure that I believed it. Right. I saw that and I was like, this is plausible enough to be real, but at the same time, this seems exactly like something somebody would write as a joke.
Yep. Well, and then this morning, the restaurant released the footage from inside the restaurant. And in fact, Dave Tepper is standing at the host stand talking to them, not aggressively.
Was he driving by it and he saw the sign?
Probably.
I mean, I doubt that he went to this restaurant, no offense, just based off of the exterior vibes. Doesn't seem like
it. It doesn't have owner vibes.
It doesn't strike me right as some place that a billionaire is going to go visit, specifically the wealthiest of all NFL owners in terms of net value. But here he was going full Karen mode on a poor hostess because of a sign that was outside the restaurant, ironically confirming what everyone already thinks about him. I gotta say, you're doing stuff like that in 2024 and expecting it not to get out? You're crazy. Now there is film of it? What an idiot.
Yeah, it's just, that's embarrassing.
It really is. And I mean, this is one of the most successful people alive. You have that much insecurity about the job you're doing, which hasn't been a very good job Dave Tepper's been doing with the Panthers, So, yeah, you had that. I mean, there's just a lot of owner incompetence last night. Arthur Blank looked like he was yelling at Terry Fontenot, the general manager of the Atlanta Falcons in the draft war room. You have Jerry Jones spilling the beans that the Cowboys would like to draft Jonathan Brooks, right?
Yeah.
The running back, and everybody that's sitting around him at the Cowboys press conference, they're rolling their eyes. The first pick the Cowboys made pissed off Micah Parsons. I mean, look, I'm not saying that the McNair family's a bunch of Mensas up there, but they're the greatest ownership group to ever own an NFL franchise. What I am saying is, here we are, a year after one of the more frustrating seasons, excuse me, frustrating stretches that we've seen for sports in this city. Here they are, we're looking at them, we're like, yeah, kind of thankful I have them. I'm not asking for the best. I'm just asking to not have dumbasses, idiots, insecure, small-peened folks.
Yeah, just don't be a moron. Don't be the Panthers owner. Don't be tipping your picks like that, Jerry Jones. What are we doing? Like,
do you see everyone else like up on the dais with them, and they're just like, they can't just look at glare at him because he like runs the show, but they kind of have to be like. You know, don't spill all the beans, Jerry. Please, because we're gonna get fired if you do.
Yeah, what a weird draft day it was. Like,
and it started out so boring, in my opinion.
It was
the first three picks were just all quarterbacks the exact order you think. Fourth, Harrison, cool. Mm-hmm. All right, fifth, offensive lineman, sick. And
That pick is so on brand for Jim Harbaugh. Yeah. Though.
Well, did you see afterwards?
Makes sense.
They asked him about why didn't you get a weapon, and he was like, "Well, in my mind, offensive linemen are weapons."
Hell yeah! He's he's the best. And also, I mean, Justin Herbert is constantly under siege. Maybe not to the degree that Bryce Young is, but I mean, the guy's gotten hit a lot.
Yeah.
And then 6 and 7. Was a receiver to the Giants.
A tackle to the Titans.
Good luck.
Neighbor to the Giants.
And then it's like, boom, firecracker. Yeah. here's Michael Penix. And then after you catch your breath, it's like, oh, here's Bo Nix. Whoa.
I was watching it on the NFL Network broadcast, and Ian Rappaport broke in to say, like, don't be surprised if Michael Penix is the pick here for the Vikings. And I guess that's as close to tipping the pick as possible. But it was really funny to see everybody sitting at the table saying, and then when it actually happened, they were still taken aback, even though Ian Rappaport teased that it was actually a possibility.
It's just jarring.
It like, really was.
It's just because it makes no logical sense.
Because we've seen, I mean, both examples are the Packers, but drafting Jordan Love when you have Aaron Rodgers, drafting Aaron Rodgers when you have Brett Favre.
Sure.
But it's like, those were like, you didn't know if that was your last year with Favre or your last year with Rodgers, and it ended up not being the case for either of them, but it was completely different. Also, both picks were in the 20s. You were in a 7-win team that has tons of holes all over your roster.
Right, and a ton of weapons on the offensive side of things. And look, I'm not dumping on the actual selection of Penix. I like Michael Penix a lot. Again, I think, Joe, you like Michael Penix, too.
Doing both is the stupid part.
If they took Penix and spent the $80 million they just invested in Kirk Cousins and invested that in other football players,
yeah,
and then had Penix as their quarterback, I'd be like, okay. Like, he's old. He's torn his ACL twice. He's had multiple season-ending shoulder injuries.
He seems like one of those players where he's close to a finished product. Put him out there. So instead of doing that, and also instead of hiring Bill Belichick, they hire Raheem Morris, who sucked with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers a decade ago. Maybe he learned. Coaches, sometimes in their second time around, they do well. But they hired Raheem Morris. They get this guy instead of hiring Bill Belichick, who, again, not the best as far as personnel goes, but they did all of these things to avoid doing this, the kind of thing that they would assume Bill Belichick would do if he had that pick, which was probably trade back and get more picks so they can add more talent to the roster. And again, they sign a quarterback to a massive contract.
Maybe get hit with tampering charges.
Oh, that's true, too.
Totally forgot about that.
Don't forget that.
Totally forgot about that, Sean. Great point. They're probably going to get hit with tampering charges. And then after making this pick, the fourth quarterback option in the draft, they say that they're okay if he doesn't play for 5 years. I mean, wow. Congratulations to Terry Fontenot living the American dream, making money. He is robbing Arthur Blank, the founder of Home Depot, blind. And you know what? Like, again, congratulations.
Honestly,
I'm impressed.
Doesn't it just feel like that, like, Arthur Blank signed Kirk Cousins, and then their GM was like, I don't like this move. I'm drafting a quarterback. Like,
or the other way around.
Or the other way around. Like, well, I don't know. That one video they put out from the war room that was going around, it really looked like Terry Fontenot was, like, trying to explain his whole thought process. And Arthur Blank's just like, what are we doing?
You don't draft a quarterback, especially top 10, without, like, your owner knowing about it. Like, the reason he's sitting in the room, like... Like, the if he was so against Michael Penix, he would just slap the phone out of Terry Fontenot's hand.
Yeah, my favorite is Tom Pelissero, the way he described this with not telling Kirk Cousins this morning on NFL Network. He said, this isn't just cheating on your wife. This is cheating on your wife on the honeymoon. Because, like, he hasn't even played a game for you yet.
Shoot or shoot.
And you just, like, screwed him over.
I would love – obviously, we have, like, the – camera set up in all these guys' houses for when they get picked. I would like the camera setup of the incumbent starting quarterback. I guess he's not even the incumbent starting quarterback because he hasn't started a game for the Falcons. But just a camera setup in the Cousins household when that pick goes through.
Dude, when Rodgers was on Pat McAfee's Rodgers was on McAfee on their draft show when they took Love. And it was awesome. Because he was just like, what is happening? Like, you could do, he was not happy. I'm sure we have other draft observations we get to. Plus, the Houston Texans will finally be on the clock tonight. I think the run on quarterbacks and everything that happened in the first round, the fact that a defensive player was not taken until the Colts took Latu Latu from UCLA at 15, is definitely a good thing for the Texans tonight. So we'll get into that next year on Glant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Okay, a couple other things for the draft from me last night that stood out to me here. I was also very confused by the Las Vegas Raiders. They drafted Michael Mayer, the tight end from Notre Dame, early in the draft last year. So then they drafted another tight end this year.
You can never have too many tight ends.
Yeah. Worked for Gronk and Aaron Hernandez.
That's on the field. I mean, I guess if Gardner Minshew is really going to be your quarterback, having two good tight ends and Davante Adams, like, isn't the worst idea in the world?
There's no quarterbacks for them left to take. They all somehow went in the first 12 picks.
At one point last night, I was like, is Spencer Rattler going to go in the first round? Like, I was like...
There was a split second
where you're like, well, maybe someone trades back in like 31
what?
And picks
yeah.
them.
I was shocked that they were gone in the first 12. I don't hate the Browers pick at all. I mean, look.
I was just surprised.
That's clearly like they're just, let's get a guy in here. Like, let's get an absolute dude in here.
Tight ends have been getting, I think, perhaps drafted a little bit too high over the last couple of years. Some of the guys that are getting drafted, like T.J. Hockenson's been good, but has T.J. Hockenson been Travis Kelce? Yes. That's why a lot of these tight ends are going so early. Usually you can wait a little bit, but I mean, I think we all thought that Brock Bowers was one of the best tight ends that we've seen in a few years. I would say, as a Gator fan and someone who is not exactly the biggest fan of Georgia, that Brock Bowers is better than Kyle Pitts, at least at the college level. So if that guy falls to you at 14, I have no issue with taking that as the potential best player available.
Yeah, and that's probably the right way to look at it. It is the best player. Like, you probably have other needs, but you probably wanted a quarterback and you weren't going to get him. There's reports that the Seahawks, the Raiders, and the Saints were all trying to trade up for Michael Penix last night, which I just didn't really think he was this top 10 guy. I'm not surprised, but that he went in the first round, I just didn't think that was going to happen. The other one, and it's just because I don't understand this organization, and we've talked about them so much since they traded Stephon Diggs to the Houston Texans, but to lose Gabe Davis to the Jags and then to trade Stephon Diggs to the Texans, and then to hand Xavier Worthy...
I can't believe that happened.
...and Xavier Legette to teams in the first round, specifically with Worthy, to trade him to the Chiefs, basically. And the Bills will be the first team on the clock tonight, and they'll get a wide receiver and a good one at that, for sure. Might get Adonai Mitchell, who like might even be better than Xavier Worthy. But to just give Patrick Mahomes a weapon like that, I wouldn't do it.
The Bills don't strike me as a team that feels they can contend this year.
I don't think so either.
You can find a guy in the second round. There's no doubt about it. You can find guys later on. But the way that you laid it out is exactly the way that you should look at it. The Bills hate the Chiefs.
Yeah.
The Bills cried after losing a playoff game fair and square so much about losing to the Chiefs that they got the rules changed. Lost to them again in the playoffs. And would you want to make a deal with a team that has been kicking your ass? I don't know. I mean, maybe it's petty and not a smart way to operate an organization, but I don't know. I would tell them to go F off.
Especially when, and I guess you don't know this when you're on the phone with them, that they don't go like, hey, we're trading up, like, we're going to, you know, here's some thirds, here's some fourths, mix them around. And by the way, we're picking a receiver. Okay, later. But, like, you still have to kind of know that they're moving up for a receiver. Mm-hmm. Like, you just try not to hand the team that's ended your season, what, 3 out of the last 4 years, just try not to hand them a weapon. Just, I don't know.
Unless it's akin to all of the countries that actually were smart back during the age of Genghis Khan, and they're just offering the tribute up so that their entire city is not, you know, summarily decapitated or crushed under boards while they eat dinner, right? And like stacked in a pile of skulls. So they're just going along with the conquerors. And okay, fine, be a beta. It's fine. I mean, it's the NFL. You're supposed to compete with other teams. I don't know. Sometimes it's okay to be petty, and sometimes it's okay to say F off. What? Let Xavier Worthy go to somebody that's not the Kansas City Chiefs.
Carolina, do you want this guy? Please take this guy.
Right, exactly. I mean, David Tepper, I'm sure, wants to distract everybody from going to the restaurant the way that he was. I don't know. You can't
put his finger in some 17-year-old's chest.
Okay. Yeah.
And then look at the division here. Latu, he's a monster. I don't know. Like that pick.
Is he? I don't know. I don't know who he is.
That pick, but that's one of those draft picks that it could be one of the worst picks in ever.
Yeah, because
I mean, you got him at 15. Like they medically retired him at Washington. And then he had neck fusion.
Well, that's bad.
Well, so, by the way, what's going on in Washington where all these guys have horrendous injuries?
I don't know, but they had 4 guys taking the top 15 this year. Well, if you include him,
it's the lack of freedom in the air.
But yeah, like
all the homeless people.
Both your ACLs tear the second the plane lands.
Well, that was in Indiana.
Oh, okay.
That was Indiana Penix.
So University of Washington, it's in Seattle. And for those who don't know, if you walk around Seattle, you're going to have homeless people come after you a lot. And what they do is they get a hammer out. They like hit you right in the knee. You know, that's what is the thing. It's part of a tradition. And it's something that I just couldn't understand when I moved up to the Pacific Northwest. You know, like random homeless people coming up to me with a hammer, sometimes battle axe, and hitting me in the knee.
Gotcha.
The battle axe thing is not, I'm not even kidding about that. The hammer thing, am I? See, that's what Seattle is.
Someone came up to you with a battle axe?
No, but I once did when I was doing my little fill-in day of conservative talk radio in Seattle, some man broke into somebody's home with a battle axe and was released on his own recognizance. Even though the person that was in this place and lived there was fearing for their life and pulled a gun on him, they actually brought the person, I think, who pulled the gun on him in also for questioning.
Oh, that seems very Seattle of them.
It's like, oh, he had a gun? What? It's like, well, he had a battle axe. No, battle axes are okay.
And then Brian Thomas Jr. got taken from the wide receiver from LSU, got taken by the Jags. That's a good pick for them. He led college football in touchdowns last year. He's a good player. I think Jacksonville kind of won the whole Calvin Ridley thing there with Tennessee. Like, you got a cheaper, probably better version of him.
Maybe. I don't know.
We'll see. Obviously, like, yeah, he could be terrible.
I'd rather have the proven commodity.
Sure.
If I'm Jacksonville. But
I wouldn't want to pay him the way. That's the one where losing the bidding war, I'm like, I'm fine losing that bidding war. Because that's what you have to – that's the part of it. It's like, well, we paid him. And it's like,
I just want to have a receiver that is, I mean, you know, you're right.
Not betting on games.
You don't. Well, yeah, there's that.
Hey, he bet on them to win.
Look.
Cool.
It does make sense what you just said, Sean, because, I mean, when Trevor Lawrence overthrows a wide receiver by 10 yards, you probably want to be paying him less. Right?
Yeah.
It's like Trevor Lawrence is a remarkably inaccurate quarterback considering all the ass-kissing that he got. And since he's in Jacksonville, no one actually criticizes him the same way that they should, the way that they criticize Dak Prescott, because they're both on about the same level. But Dak gets all the criticism because he's in Dallas. And Trevor Lawrence pretty much gets off scot-free.
Yeah, he does. He really does.
Because no one cares about Jacksonville.
Yeah. No, they're irrelevant.
Yeah.
I did. But did you see Tony Khan?
Yeah, with the neck brace.
He played into the wrestling pit. I give him credit for.
So wait, that. But hang on. So he wasn't actually hurt?
I don't think he's actually hurt.
Well, I don't know what's real and what's not. I don't understand wrestling.
I'm pretty confident he's. I mean, he did get dropped on his head, but that probably happened more than once in his
probably
life.
Probably sore at least.
Have you, either of you guys ever worn a neck brace?
No.
No.
No?
Have you?
I mean, it's something, you know.
Only while a lawsuit was pending?
If times get desperate, I think about it.
You're just going to step in front of a Lexus?
I mean, maybe that's a bet that we should do. Somebody, if we have a bet ever, the other person has to wear a neck brace.
Oh, I think you're going to get hit by a car.
Oh, no. All that's right. If we're really, really desperate.
I forgot right. I didn't work at Jackass.
I'll get an OnlyFans. that'll be my OnlyFans content.
Whoever loses the next bet has to intentionally get hit by a car to try to get a loss.
A sedan.
Yeah, like those are a semi-truck. Like,
a coupe or a sedan.
Yeah. I mean, if you just
Fiat.
If you just stand in the parking lot, I feel like you've got a good shot to get hit. This parking lot's wild.
Yeah. Go, especially the first floor one.
Yeah, like I think you got a shot at it.
Could I run through a Fiat?
Run through a Fiat?
Yeah. Fiat's going like 5 miles per hour.
Like you're the juggernaut? Like what are you talking
now,
about?
So like you think like if it's like moving slowly and you run it and you hit it from the side.
From the side,
you
yeah.
lower
and
your shoulder.
And you lower your shoulder into the side, the driver passenger door. The driver's side door.
Mm-hmm.
Like, can you tip it? Is that what you're asking?
Well, yeah. I'm not even kidding. My most intrusive thought is whenever I see a Fiat, I just want to shove it on its side.
I just want to
roll it over. Whenever I see it, I'm just like, yeah, that would be funny.
All I know is that if we wake up one weekend and there's a news story about a drunk man flipping a Fiat,
what if he was sober?
We know it was Paul. That's all I know.
I mean, probably. I'd be cool with that.
All right, what is going on?
Get out of here with your little crappy cars.
All right, what are we looking for the Houston Texans tonight? Plenty of good players on the board. Are you disappointed they didn't trade up after all the nonsense rumors that they were talking about it last night? We'll get to that next year on Glatton George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Before we do that, we're going to tell you about our friends at LeBurge. Like, Charles, if you were there, you could have bet on the over 4.5 quarterbacks being taken in the first round and easily won some money because 6 QBs were taken in the first last night. It's a great place to bet on your favorite Texas teams. Or if you want to go watch UFC 301, they're going to be doing a party on the patio. They'll be doing a party for Canelo as well. We were there talking about the Kentucky Derby Day. All of that is on the same day. You can get tickets for the Kentucky Derby party on Ticketmaster. It's an awesome place to bet, to eat, and just to enjoy a casino resort. LeBurge Lake Charles is your place to go when you want to leave Texas and go bet on your Texas teams. And when you go, make sure you download the Penn Play app and you can win up to $2,000 in Penn Play Cash.
ESPN 97.5. You're back with Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
All right, so the Houston Texans will be on the clock with the 42nd pick in the NFL draft tonight. So you don't have to wait long. All of our draft show tonight, Paul, Dell, myself, will be on from 6 to 9. Probably get at least both. We'll get both Texans picks. And we might get the third pick, and we'll see how fast it moves. But the draft board, like the guys we've talked about, like if you look at mock drafts, whatever, that you were talking about when the Texans had the 23rd pick, a lot of those guys are still there, actually, when the second round starts today, which is what I find interesting about where the Texans just are in this draft, because you have Kool-Aid McKinstry, you know, the cornerback from Alabama, you have Cooper DeJean, the corner/safety from Iowa.
Yeah.
So, like, you have Jerzon Newton, the defensive tackle from Illinois.
The Texans pass on Cooper DeJean. You know, there's been lots of accusations that they're racist against black people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if they don't draft Cooper DeJean, is there a case to be made that they're racist against white people?
I mean, is there a case that the NFL is just racist against white people?
Well, I there definitely is a case to be made that
I mean, he didn't go in the first round.
The white cornerback has been blackballed for far too long, you know?
Yeah.
Him, Riley Moss.
Right.
If there's another one, they can all get in on class action.
You know, maybe if I had played cornerback in high school and risen the ranks, I could have at least being considered for the NFL draft, but that didn't happen.
I mean, you were still kind of like
they move because they always move the white guy over to safety. Now, I was playing on a team of all white people, but I am the whitest of all those people. What?
How do you define that?
Let's not power rank whiteness.
You all know, everyone knows I am ghostly white.
Same.
So they wouldn't let me. I'm way whiter than you. And again, this is not a white measuring competition.
I'm just saying.
I'm alarmingly pasty. Okay. And I mean, could I have played corner? I guess we'll never know. Played very well this past Saturday in a little, you know, flag game.
Dejean is a French name, so you know.
Uh huh.
Maybe that's why he's being passed.
Monsieur Cornerback.
Yeah.
The French aren't
red
tough.
Flag, white, French.
Yeah. It's like you can have one, but you can't have both. Like you just can't. You can't check both those boxes.
Yeah, probably not.
We'll ask.
Jason Sihon. That doesn't sound French. And it comes off the tongue.
I mean, it's okay. It's
Dutch.
Yeah, it's definitely more Dutch than French for sure. But like, it's just. We don't know what the Texans are going to do tonight. It's a crapshoot. Like,
half these
players are going to be bust. But like,
to what you were saying, okay, they got theoretically three cracks at it, and it seems like a lot of defensive players are left on the board. So that's good because I think when we look at the Texans and we're not thinking to ourselves they need to go after an offensive player at this moment in time. Maybe a running back at some point because
it won't be Jonathan Brooks. Because, you know, he's going to go to the Cowboys.
Luckily, the Texans picked 10 picks ahead of the Cowboys, so they can snake them if they want.
That would bum me out.
Someone is definitely going to snake the Cowboys for Jonathan Brooks.
Maybe is Jerry Jones, you know, crafty businessman? Is this a smokescreen?
I don't know.
Like, maybe he wants, like, Trey Benson from Florida State.
Trust me, I respect Jerry Jones, the businessman, but he's been on too much of a cold streak for me to be like, you know what? Maybe he's pulling a fast one on us.
The one thing with the draft, too, I guess we have to keep an eye on. One conversation we've had a couple times was about how much say C.J. Stroud has had or has in the NFL draft. Well, he got – we don't have this audio, so it's okay. But when Ricky Pearsall got drafted by the San Francisco 49ers last night, he was very disappointed. He said he wanted Ricky Pearsall to be a Houston Texan. So, I don't know, like, maybe they are going to draft a wide receiver if they're listening to CJ.
I like that CJ Stroud, just like, I like that guy.
He's like, I wanted that guy. I'm like, do you need him, though? Like, you don't need another wide receiver. It's okay. Please don't.
How much Florida tape do you think he was watching?
I hope not.
They never played Florida. They never even came close to playing
Florida.
As
someone who watches Florida tape is depressing.
NC-17.
Perhaps worse, considering the talent levels of, you know, those who have played high school football in Florida. But look, they're not going to be bending over backwards to give C.J. Stroud what he wants anymore. They've given C.J. all of his toys. C.J., yes. I'm a big fan. Please don't turn into Veruca Salt. Please don't turn into her. Veruca Salt is probably a porn star. Veruca Salt, don't do that. Okay?
Her movies are also in C7.
Yeah, definitely. 100%.
I was just Googling Veruca Salt to see if there was something.
Lots of porn stars named Veronica.
Yeah?
Probably more porn stars named Veronica than real people named Veronica. No offense to porn stars who are real people. But
also, no offense to real women named Veronica.
Yeah, no offense. Veronica Vaughn.
Somehow you insulted both people there.
Yeah, you're like, Paul's like, how many people can I insult in one segment? He insulted white people, the French.
No, I didn't.
Veronica.
I stood up for the white.
No, he lifted French people above us normal white people, or us lesser than white people.
Yeah, it's true. He did.
Yeah.
But look, the Texans, like, I'm fascinated to see what they do tonight. I do wonder, like, if they'll make a trade up, but, like, just seeing the names that are on the board, like, their names that are just discussed so often for what this team could need, I'm just very curious.
It feels like, and this is again just like the external talk about this team's draft, but it does feel like the three main guys that, again, we're getting talked about at 23, for the most part, they're still, or at least two of them, with Johnny Newton and with Kool-Aid McKinstry, throwing Cooper Dejean. Those are the big three for me.
Enos Rakestraw, he's on our board. We're gonna build out our board in full.
How scared were you when the like murmuring, not from like the whatever local yokels that are like, don't be surprised if they. But when like I actually sent you the Diana Rossini report because she's an actual reporter report, and she gave like they are actually trying to call, to trade up. I wonder who that was for. That's who they were targeting with that.
Yeah, I mean I.
But also, how scared were you that it's like, oh god, we're gonna have a draft show with no picks?
I think someone said it was the guy that the Eagles drafted.
Quinyon Mitchell.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah, that was supposedly who they were thinking about.
Going into the draft, when people were like, the top positions are going to be offensive line, quarterback, wide receiver, and corner. And you didn't see the first cornerback get taken until the 22nd pick in the draft. And then the next one went 24, Terrion Arnold to the Lions, and then Nate Wiggins to the Baltimore Ravens, which, like, that means he's going to be a great player. That's the one thing I do know about the draft, is whatever defensive player the Ravens take, he's good. Because that's all they ever do is draft good players.
That is a stereotype.
Seems like it.
It's just like, hey, good player.
Didn't that happen with Kyle Hamilton, where like there's some like, hey, maybe the Texans, you know, he ran a bad 40 time, but
You know what,
they'll play it safe and go with the lineman instead. And then the Ravens pick him, you're like, oh.
And you're like, well, Texans made the
I know how
pick.
This is going to go.
Yeah, so.
God, like, he was so good in the AFC Championship game.
Dude, he's a stud.
He was so good in every game he played.
Yeah, but that game in particular, like, that's the one we're all watching. We're like, oh.
He, like, dominated. It was like, he was going head-to-head against Mahomes.
Hey, next year's the year for Kenyon Green.
Yeah.
Right.
Next year's a year for Kenyon Green.
Next year's the year.
Yeah, the versus the a year is very different.
DNA, they're not that different in terms of parts.
That's a good point.
They're both articles.
They are both articles. They do mean very different things, though, in this
context. So the fifth graders out there just, oh, wait, I thought it was out of school.
Hey, listen, this turned from comparing whiteness segment to an English segment. Joe, great. Good at English, math.
Yeah, my dad was an English teacher, so.
Oh, good. Okay.
So I feel like that would be a real disappointment.
Could you teach us anything more about the English language?
No, not really. I can't teach anything. But yes, there was a point, Sean, last night when the Houston Texans were being rumored to move up into the first round, I went, well, are we canceling the draft show? That was like my thought, because I was like, if they don't have a pick in the second round, like, what are we going to talk about for 3 hours? We're going to talk about it during all day. So I'm kind of glad they didn't do that. Okay. Little shout out to Nick Casario for not being able to get it done.
I'm happy about it, too.
Shout out for not getting it done.
I mean, I'm the same thing, you know. I was watching the draft. I was sitting in the really comfy spot on my sectional, my cat's right next to me, you know, blankie on. And I'm thinking to myself, man. Do I have to get up and potentially do my own little live stream?
Which version of the draft did you watch? Because there's so many.
I watched the NFL Network one.
The NFL Network. I watched.
I can't watch. I mean, listen, I know that they're the parent company and all, but I'm sorry. After Spygate and Deflategate, no. I prefer Rich Eisen.
I watched the ABC one with Saban and those guys.
Oh, okay.
College Game Day.
Oh, I didn't know there was an ABC one as
well. Yeah, I thought that was because Saban, also like Bill Belichick, like super curmudgeon-y person, but like actually doing the media now, awesome. He's also very funny to listen to because he's so out on college football. When Quinyon Mitchell got picked, he's like, we basically begged him to leave Toledo and come to Alabama, and he wouldn't do it. But yeah, that's what I
That's what's wrong with college football.
Yeah, well,
I tried to steal
what Nick Saban
from Toledo.
Himself was trying to do.
I tried watching the ESPN one, but they're full of crap. Like, there's really no other way to put it.
Who?
The ESPN broadcast. Like, they're trying not to tip picks, but they're tipping the picks to their guys.
Same thing. Ian Rappaport's basically doing that before every single pick, too. Like, well, it wouldn't be surprising if they did this.
So what they did was interesting is that instead of having Schefter do it, they clearly were having their producers tell the talent who they were taking. So every single pick,
and
they looked like
the
geniuses. Yeah. Like, Lewis Riddick was like, I wouldn't be surprised if it's Quinyon Mitchell here.
Oh, so they're spreading it around.
And then Roger Goodell walks on the stage. It's Quinyon Mitchell. And Mike Greenberg goes, look at you, Lewis. Great job.
Like, see? So you build up the credibility through fraud of your analysts.
Yeah, they were doing it hardcore.
So it's Greeny, yawn. Riddick, who else?
Orlovsky?
Oh, it was Booger. Okay.
Booger and Mel Kiper.
Yeah, oh, Mel Kiper's still on.
It wasn't bad.
Like, I'm just glad there was no. I mean, listen, Orlovsky seems like a nice fellow, but like Greeny and Orlovsky, my God, that would.
I just got
that's a bridge too far.
I just got threatened on Twitter.
You got threatened? Why? Yeah. What happened? Who's got you?
Well, because at Jeremy Branham tweeted, would you rather have Will Anderson or Jahmyr Gibson, LaPorta, and Darius Robinson? You troll.
He's such a troll.
So I responded. I thought Elon was getting rid of engagement farming.
Ooh.
And then he just tweeted me saying, dangerous territory playing the quote tweet game with me, Joe. I think I just got threatened.
Whoa.
What does that mean?
I don't know, but I think it was a threat.
Wow.
I don't know what the response is going
to
be.
Because you quote tweeted, or did you respond to him?
He quote tweeted.
No. Jeremy said the right. I think.
He tried to dunk on him.
I did.
If you're quote tweeting someone, you're trying to dunk on them.
The response that you gave me feels like I checked.
You can't do that.
All right. What's going on? Last night, CJ Stroud was doing a draft show with Mike Parsons and Bleacher Report, and he gave us some goodies. And we're going back to Deep Steel Blue Pill?
Blue Pill, baby.
Just Blue Pill?
Yeah, because the red pill
or
is...
Or Yankee Blue Pill?
Yankee Blue Pill.
Oh, no, I forgot that you're right.
Yeah.
Hang on. Is this a thing now? Is it going to be Yankee Blue, or is it still Deep Steel Blue, but it's a different shade of Deep Steel Blue?
It's technically Yankee Blue.
Why did they... That's the one thing that they screwed up this week.
It's Nike.
I know, but why did they say that?
I don't know.
What was the point of saying that?
There has to be another dark blue also. Like, there just has to be one.
You're just saying, like, oh, it's a different shade of dark blue.
Detroit Tigers blue.
Yankee blue.
There we go.
Red Sox blue. I mean, that would have been, you know, you're talking about a team that's been battling the Astros and has been accusing them of cheating.
All right, Yankee Blue Pill. That's next year on Gallant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
Little blue pills can take 30 minutes to get you ready for excitement.
So that's why we're giving you a big, deep, steel blue pill.
You take the blue pill, believe whatever you want.
Get it up for the Texans and take this deep, steel blue pill.
And by the way, she'll like it too.
Texans War! Hashtag H-Town Nate.
Hashtag.
They moved on from We Are Texas.
Yankee Blue.
Oh, don't. I know. It's technically Yankee Blue. It's still Deep Steel Blue to me. Okay?
It's always blue.
That blue helps me go deep when it comes to takes that I have on the Houston Texans.
Is it still bad or red?
No. It's Ohio State red.
It doesn't look like Ohio.
It's like let's.
It, oh, I think
let's
the
take the colors from the two most annoying fan bases in the United States of America.
Yeah, I like how they also were trying to be like, "Yeah, we did this before CJ Stroud was a Texan." Lie.
It does look. I mean,
It was Rutgers red before CJ Stroud.
I think it's scarlet at Ohio State too.
Yeah, it's scarlet and gray. Yeah,
but not Nike red. Now has the colleges and some of these teams has given them credit for. Their colors.
It's like the Pantone or whatever.
Yeah.
About the Pantones that Nike has, is Nike like poor or something? How do they not have every Pantone under the sun?
I don't know.
Right?
I mean, because that's what this is. They did not have access to Deep Steel Blue.
Right. How?
Reebok still has it?
Yeah,
Reebok does.
They had it with the current jerseys, but when the Texans changed their jersey, they were not allowed to choose Deep Steel Blue.
Especially with because they do soccer too. And it's like, yeah, can we get, a soccer team's blue that's deep
Barcelona
steel blue?
Barcelona blue? I don't know. They're dark enough.
Yeah, Barcelona.
That's a very bright blue. Does the – from the company that gave you the J.J. Watt dad shoe, here we are, Reebok, with way more resources than Nike.
Also, can you just, offer them, a ham sandwich, and they'll be like, here's deep steel blue.
What kind of trade is this?
Here's $1.50. Here's deep steel blue.
This is one of the tragedies about Nike. I mean, it's basically, run by, 8-year-olds living in Southeast Asia, right? It's all the... And they don't have the resources to create all these colors. Sad. Just sad. Also, that part is really sad.
I mean, yeah,
that's the really sad part.
You barely believe there.
But it's sad that they can't also come up with these colors.
Reebok does it the right way, we assume.
Coug Blazers is upset.
Why?
Not picking Coug Red.
True.
Well, you can't.
True. Why not?
Coug Red's probably owned by Jordan Brand.
Same thing.
It's
literally the same thing.
Maybe it's not.
It's the same thing.
I don't know.
That's why it's stupid that... football teams are sponsored by Jordan.
This is why, to go back to what you said, though, Joe, this is why it was a misstep by them in this interview to say it was Yankee blue. You could have come up with another blue easily.
Yeah. Mariners blue.
Comets blue. How about that? Houston Comets blue.
I think Reebok has that one, too.
And you could, but hang on, though. You get what I'm saying, right? And same thing for Ohio State. Instead, Joe, they could have said Cougs red. I mean, that's real H-Town made. So they could have done it better. But hey, it's a rare misstep. This organization can do no wrong.
Astros blue.
Oh, you're right.
Good point.
You're
and they have,
right.
And it is a Nike.
Astros
we know those
blue
jerseys
and Rockets
are
red.
Hey, hang on,
they
though.
They could have just done that.
Do we want our Texans associated
yeah, we don't.
With the Astros
no,
these
no,
days?
No, because we're going to bury them in the next 5 minutes. But first, before we do that, before we bury the Astros 2024 season, CJ Stroud was doing a draft show watch along with Micah Parsons. It was actually pretty entertaining. And we got this gem when I don't remember his name, the guy from Bleacher Report. Adam Lefko asked Micah Parsons and CJ Stroud who the best team in Texas was.
Who would you say is the best team in Texas right now?
We're trying to create some beef. I like that. You know what it is? I mean, I feel like Micah knows who it is. I think Steph knows who it is.
I mean,
you know, so. But no, like, everything got to get figured out on the field. You know, like.
I ain't even seen no chemistry. And I ain't even get a snap. We the best team. What the hell? You feel me?
I ain't saying that.
We're going to figure it out.
Yeah, we're going to, like, you going to, like, everything in life, man, like, there's a time and place, you know what I'm saying, where you're going to figure it out. You're going to see what it's about.
And you know what it is? You know what it is?
What is it?
You know, he faced some pretty good guys, but he ain't never see a killer, though.
You sit on a couch with one.
Yeah! Get him, CJ. OJ.
OJ Stroud. Yeah. Look, I love it. I think they got good chemistry. I would actually love to watch more of CJ Stroud and Micah Parsons with Adam Lefko.
Yeah, we're going to play another thing at 145 because they have this debate where they took their best 11 players, offense versus defense, and currently in the NFL, and matched them up. And it was another great thing. They're very good together. Micah Parsons is very entertaining, actually.
Yeah. Now, he is outspoken to the point where maybe some Cowboys fans are starting to get a little fatigued, but he is one of the best defensive players in the league. And, yeah, this is the second time that I've seen Micah Parsons and C.J. Stroud in the same room, and the conversation that they've had has been entertaining. I think the last time they were talking about Kobe versus Jordan.
Oh, yeah.
Because C.J. Stroud.
Kobe versus Steph, wasn't it?
Oh, you're right.
Steph, you're right.
Because
they're talking about defenders. And,
yeah.
And C.J. is a bit of a Kobe Bryant truther. I bet that he would say Kobe Bryant's the best player of all time. Hopefully he's not texting Kobe Bryant from beyond, unlike Jason Tatum of my beloved Boston Celtics.
Tied 1-1 with the Heat.
What?
Jason Tatum, you never heard that story?
You didn't know that?
Jason Tatum, like,
it was before Game 7 against the Heat in 2022, I want to
say.
Yeah,
Jason Tatum sent a text
to Kobe Bryant's number.
Kobe Bryant's number.
Who had been deceased for
and then posted it on social
18
media.
Months.
Right. It happened. Yeah, I know. Rough. But anyway, to bring it back to C.J. Stroud and Micah Parsons, they had a fun debate about, I think, Steph Curry versus Kobe Bryant. Good times.
I'm just, like, baffled by Jason Tatum right now.
He posted a screenshot of, like, he was like, I'm going to kill him tonight. And then they almost blew a 10-point lead with 2 minutes left.
The only thing missing was, in the background of that, if he posted it on Instagram, would be playing See You Again by Wiz Khalifa.
CJ does have some, like,
takes.
I've said he has bad takes because sometimes he does. Like, he crushed the food in Houston. He's wrong.
He didn't know.
Crushed the women in Houston.
He did crush the women in Houston. But, like, this is CJ. I just typed in CJ Stroud, Kobe Bryant on Twitter. And the first thing that popped up was from the celebrity game. His all-time starting five is Steph Curry, Kobe Bryant, Kevin Durant, Dirk Nowitzki,
good.
Shaquille O'Neal.
Love it.
How often do you see a starting five without LeBron or Michael? Like,
well, he was born probably 3 years after Michael Jordan retired.
It's a team game.
It's true.
Yeah.
I mean, LeBron is the ultimate team guy. So. Not that I'm a LeBron guy, obviously. I also love Kobe, so I don't totally disagree with his take here.
That is a crazy to have Kobe and Durant on the same team.
Yeah, but no like, LeBron.
Like, they're both just standing at the free throw line trying to do jab steps.
All right, it's time.
It's time?
The Cubs swept the Astros.
Oh, man.
The Astros are on their way to Mexico City if they're not already there.
Oh, I thought they meant the bottom of a ditch.
Framber Valdez will pitch this weekend.
6 feet under the ground, and I'm thinking.
But we will have a funeral for the 2024 Astros season next year on Glanton George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.